Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building one of those old-school D&B air horn hits that instantly says warehouse, smoke, strobe lights, and serious business. The goal is not just to drop a horn sample onto the grid. The goal is to make it feel like part of the record, sitting on top of a rolling drum and bass mix without fighting the kick, snare, or sub. We're working in Ableton Live 12, and we're focusing on mixing and sequencing together, because in D&B those two things are basically inseparable. A horn can be huge, but if it's not placed and shaped properly, it can turn into a messy, harsh gimmick. So we're going to treat it like a lead instrument, give it its own little micro mix, and make it punch with attitude. First, get your source in place. The quickest route is to drag a raw air horn sample into Sampler. If it's already a tight one shot, you can use one shot mode. If you want a little more control over the tail, classic mode can work too. Trim the start so the transient hits cleanly, and add a tiny fade so you don't get clicks. If the clip is already perfectly timed, heap warp off and leave the sound natural. Also, before you even touch plugins, use clip gain to tame anything spiky. That makes everything downstream react more predictably. Now let's think like a producer, not just a sample folder tourist. Don't just fire the horn on every downbeat. Old school D&B energy comes from phrasing, call and response, and a little bit of restraint. In a two bar idea, try placing the first hit on the end of two, then another hit on beat four, then a final reply in the next bar. That kind of syncopation gives you the classic rave sting vibe without sounding cheesy. And remember, silence matters. Leaving one moment where the horn does nothing is often what makes the next hit feel bigger. If the horn feels too stiff, you can nudge it slightly late, maybe 5 to 15 milliseconds, just enough to make it sit in the pocket without sounding sloppy. That tiny human offset can work really well over a rolling breakbeat. Next up, Eck, put EQ8 first in the chain after your source. Old school horns often live in the mid-range, which is exactly why they cut through, and exactly why they can wreck your mix if you let them. Start with a high pass around 120 to 180 Hz to clear out low rumble and protect your sub. If the sound feels boxy, cut a bit around 250 to 400 Hz. If it's harsh, gently dip around 2.5 to 5 kHz. And if it needs more bite, add a small presence boost somewhere around 1.5 to 3 kHz. Keep the moves subtle. You want impact, not a screaming top-end headache. If the horn feels too wide and unstable, try reducing some side energy in mid/side mode. A strong horn usually works better with a focused center and width coming from effects, not from the raw dry sound being huge all by itself. Now let's give it a bit of ugly, because old school warehouse energy usually benefits from a little grit. Add saturator, or even pedal if you want a different flavor. Drive it lightly, maybe 2 to 6 dB, and turn soft clip on. Then trim the output back so you're matching bypass level, not just making it louder. Loud tricks the ear. Level matching tells you whether the processing is actually improving the sound. If you want a little more aggression, you can follow saturator with drum bus, but keep it controlled. A touch of crunch, maybe a little transient emphasis, and usually no boom for this kind of sound. The idea is to help the horn read on smaller systems and cut through a dense drum bus, not to melt it into white noise. If the 2 to 5 kHz area gets too abrasive, back off and use EQ after the distortion to clean up the fizz. After that, compress it lightly. Blue compressor is great if you want the horn to feel unified and punchy. Regular compressor is good if you want a more precise setup. Use a ratio around 2:1 to 4:1, a moderately slow attack, so the front of the hit gets through, and a release that breathes with the phrase. Aim for only a little gain reduction on average, maybe 1 to 3 dB. If the horn has a spiky transient followed by a loose tail, this step helps keep it present in the mix without jumping out in a bad way. If it's still fighting the snare, try a gentle sidechain from the snare or drum bus, just enough for a dB or two of ducking. This is a really useful move in D&B, because the snare often owns the upper mid attack. You don't want the horn and snare to blur into one loud blob. You want the horn to answer the snare, not wrestle it. Now let's add movement. Put auto filter after the dynamic stage and automate it across the phrase. A low pass or band pass filter with a bit of resonance can make the horn feel like it's opening into the drop. You might automate the frequency from a few hundred hertz up to several kilohertz over one or two bars, or do the reverse if you want it to feel like it's closing down into a transition. A little drive in the filter can add attitude too. For extra grime, you can use filter delay very sparingly. Keep the wet amount low, the repeats filtered, and the feedback under control. This is not about washing the whole sound and echo. It's about creating a dirty little trail behind the hits so the phrase feels alive. For space, use return tracks instead of drowning the horn directly in reverb and delay. That way your dry hit stays punchy, and you can automate the atmosphere only where you want it. Set up one return for reverb and another for delay. A shorter, dark reverb with a bit of pre-delay can give you smoky warehouse depth without turning everything to fog. The delay should stay tucked behind the horn, filtered, and used like a special effect, not a constant layer. A really good trick is to automate a reverb or delay throw only on the final horn of the phrase. That gives the section a moment of bloom right before the next bar lands. It's a tiny detail, but in DNB those tiny details are what make the arrangement feel expensive. Now bring the horn back into context. Don't trust solo. Solo can lie to you. A sound that feels massive by itself can disappear, or worse, take over the whole track once the drums and bass come back in. So test it against the kick, snare, hats, break, and bassline. In the full mix, lower the dry horn until it sits above the drums, not in front of them. If the re-space is wide, keep the horn more centered. If the horn is too bright, the snare may lose its crack. If that happens, either tame the horn's upper mids or shift its timing a hair so the transients aren't colliding. This is also a great place to think about arrangement. The horn usually hits hardest near the end of an 8 or 16 bar phrase, right before a drum fill or bass switch up. That makes it feel like a statement, not background decoration. And in old school DNB, less is usually more. One or two well-placed horn moments can hit way harder than constant repetition. Before you call it done, do your final checks. Put utility on the horn group and hit mono. If it falls apart in mono, your width is probably too dependent on facey effects or stereo tricks. Fix that by keeping the dry source more centered and letting the ambience create width instead. Also, watch your peaks. You want headroom, not clipping. And do a quick harshness test. Mute the horn, then unmute it and ask yourself whether the mix suddenly feels less comfortable because the horn was too sharp. That's often a sign you need a small EQ tweak. Here's a strong workflow to remember. Sequence the horn like a phrase, not a one-shot. Clean the lows, tame the mids, and control the brightness. Add saturation and light compression for warehouse weight. Use filter automation, sends, and subtle delay throws for movement. Then always check the whole thing against the drums and bass in mono. If you want to push this further, try layering a tiny metallic noise burst under the horn, or resample the process chain and re-import it as audio. Resampling often gives you a more finished, cohesive result than endlessly tweaking live plugins. You can also add tiny pitch movement at the start of the hit for a more played, less static feel. For practice, build a simple two-bar horn phrase in a DNB drop. Use one source, sequence three hits with syncopation, clean it with EQ, add a touch of saturation, compress lightly, automate the filter on the last hit, and send only the final note to reverb and delay. Then test it with kick, snare, and bass together. Check mono, and bounce the finished phrase back into audio. If you can make the horn feel powerful without making the drum groove smaller, you're doing real DNB mixing. And that's the difference between a sound that just exists in the track and a sound that makes the whole room react. All right, let's move on and build that warehouse pressure.